This is The Pulse, stories about the people and places at the heart of health and science. I'm Mike and Scott. This story is from our episode about fungi. You can find us wherever you get your podcasts. Fungi have been used in medicine for centuries. There's penicillin, of course, but also many more fungus-based treatments, from drugs that lower cholesterol to treatments for cancer. And now there is potentially a new contender, one that was discovered by accident, by desperate people looking for a cure for COVID-related anosmia or smell loss. Researchers estimate that hundreds of thousands of Americans have lost their sense of smell for 6 months or longer after going through COVID. One of them was Dustin, who asked us to just use his first name. His sense of smell disappeared early on in his illness.
You start realizing that you can't smell things that you normally would.
The coffee his wife made in the mornings, the wine they usually drank with dinner, even home didn't smell like home anymore. And this persisted even after the other symptoms had long subsided. His sense of smell seemed just gone.
This is a bummer, it's sad. And then you try and snap yourself out of it by being like, it's not that bad, you could be in the hospital. You know, you could have died from this.
But still, this felt like a big loss. It stole so much joy out of his life. Doctors didn't have much to offer in terms of treatments. Maybe smell training would help, where you sniff powerful scents to try to retrain your sense of smell. Instead, Dustin looked around online, and he came across the idea that magic mushrooms could help cure anosmia.
I had read somewhere that they change your brain activity, but then they also have an impact on your olfactory system, which is responsible for the sense of smell. I really didn't go too deep into it. I kind of was just like, oh, that's good enough for me. Like, if it has some sort of scientific connection, I'm willing to roll the dice and try it.
And roll the dice he did. Liz Tung picks up the story from here.
How does a responsible, married, 30-something guy organize his first magic mushroom trip in, 17 years? For Dustin, it started with reaching out to his friends.
You know, all my, I guess, connections from when I was younger, you know, are gone or either don't partake in those types of things anymore. But I happen to be friends with a tattoo artist. And so tattoo artists know a lot of people. And he happened to be like, oh, yeah, I happen to have something, you know, laying around.
Dustin got his hands on $2,000. Not as much as he wanted, but enough for a decent dose. Having taken mushrooms before, he knew the importance of preparation.
Obviously, set and setting is the most important thing.
Dustin decided to set up in the office/spare room in his and his wife's apartment.
It's kind of just where you can kind of tuck yourself away a little bit. I've got all my music and stuff in there.
He had his wife serving as his trip sitter in the next room, food and drinks in case he got peckish, and the finishing touch, a pair of headphones and sunglasses. A tip he'd gotten from Michael Pollan's book on psychedelics, How to Change Your Mind. The final step was actually taking the mushrooms. He'd read up on that too.
I tried the lemon technique, and it just basically squeezed out a lemon into a glass, and then I ground everything up, put it in there. I think I mixed a little bit of orange juice in there and just down the hatch.
So Dustin was sitting around listening to records, waiting for something to happen, when suddenly it hit.
I started to feel the fuzzies. Within an hour, I'm like, okay, I'm starting to get, you know, my visual fields are starting to get tracers or however you want it. It's just really a unique sensation. I've never experienced anything else like it. And then by like hour and a half, 2 hours in, I was like fully into it.
And then, without warning, it happened.
It was just like, hit me in the face that like my own body odor was just like very pronounced. And I was like, what the hell is going on? Like, I smell awful. And then I was like, oh my God, I can smell.
Even in the midst of his psychedelic trip, Dustin knew how big this was. He says the depth of the smell was incredible. Like, if smells were represented by colors, he could see the whole rainbow and then some.
And so I kind of started freaking out with like joy. Like, I was just like overjoyed. You know, so my wife had heard me from the other room and she's like, what's going on? I was like, oh my God, I smell awful. Like, this is amazing.
Dustin started running around the apartment to smell things. His wife tossed him an orange.
Peeled it, bit into it, and I was like, oh my gosh, like, I can taste it. Like, really taste it.
Same for the enchiladas they ate that night for dinner.
I could taste the individual ingredients in there, right? I could distinguish the tortilla versus the sauce versus the kind of flavorless chicken, but like I could taste that again. And that was the first time I had that for a really long time. So it was a real, I mean, it's not anything I wish on anybody to lose their sense of smell, but to lose it and then have it come back that abruptly was a really, it was a special experience.
Dustin ended up posting about his experience on Reddit. And he says the biggest question he got from other people was, okay, so it worked, but did it last? For the most part, Dustin says the answer is yes. That first day, his sense of smell was fully back. He estimates like 95 to 100%. Since then, it's varied from day to day, though he says it hasn't dipped lower than 90%.
So there is part of me that's also curious to, like, you know, give it a second shot and see, is this like a compounding benefit? Is it kind of gets you to a level and that's all they can do for you?
As you might imagine, success stories like Dustin's have garnered their own little cult followings online, where thousands of people, if not more, are looking for answers, desperate to regain their sense of smell. I wanted to find out if there's any way this could possibly be true. Could magic mushrooms really be a cure for anosmia? A condition, by the way, that's continued to stump doctors and researchers around the world. And if it does work, how does it work? What's the mechanism? I should warn you from the outset that answering these questions ended up being a lot more complicated than I thought. Let's just say the research on COVID-related smell loss is still developing, and there are a lot more questions than answers at this point. I'll start with the most popular explanation I came across, made not by experts, by the way, but by Redditors commenting on stories like Dustin's. A while back, some research came out suggesting that psilocybin, the active ingredient in magic mushrooms, can cause neurons to regenerate, a process called neurogenesis. Now, neurons are the workhorses of our olfactory systems. They live in our nasal cavities, and their job is to grab onto odor molecules and send info about them to the brain. So the idea here is that maybe COVID is attacking or wiping out those neurons, and what the shrooms are doing is helping them grow back. This isn't a brand new idea. Even before COVID, there were researchers focused on neurogenesis as a potential fix for anosmia. So I decided to reach out to one of them, Brad Goldstein. He's an otolaryngologist, or ear, nose, and throat doc, who's been studying post-COVID anosmia and also happens to be an expert on neurogenesis. So does it seem at all plausible to you that shrooms could be helping treat people's anosmia by causing those olfactory neurons to regenerate?
You know, I guess I have to choose my words carefully here, right? But no, I guess I would question whether neurogenesis is sort of the mechanism or not. I would say a lot more research might need to happen before we can jump to that conclusion.
That's his nice way of saying, yeah, probably not. For one thing, it turns out the evidence that psilocybin causes neurons to regenerate is pretty thin. Plus, Brad told me it would probably take weeks of neurogenesis to reverse anosmia, not an afternoon of tripping. So I asked Brad why he thinks shrooms could be restoring people's sense of smell. Brad clearly had his doubts that this was possible at all, but he said if it was possible, it could come down to how psilocybin affects the brain. See, the way magic mushrooms create their psychedelic effects is by modulating certain serotonin receptors.
Turn up or turn down or adjust or, you know, change how that signal is being, you know, received or transmitted from one cell to another cell.
And serotonin may be involved in some of the brain regions that process smells. It's one of the neurotransmitters in the brain that helps neurons send messages to one another, including, potentially, the signals that carry smells.
Theoretically, if you were turning up serotonin signals and some of those circuits are using serotonin, then, you know, somebody could have an olfactory perception change as a downstream effect of that.
That idea resonated with the next researcher I talked to, Chris von Bartelt. He's a professor of physiology and cell biology at the University of Nevada School of Medicine. And like Brad, Chris has also been studying COVID-related anosmia. I asked him what he thinks could be going on.
Psilocybin is known to have changes in perception. And so let's say you have COVID, you lost your sense of smell. So let's say for weeks or even months, There has been no activity in your olfactory nerve, and so the parts of the brain that receive normally this information, they notice that, well, there's nothing coming in.
It's kind of like when your computer goes to sleep.
So maybe what the psychedelic mushrooms do is to basically kind of like hit a reset button.
In other words, and Chris emphasized this is a total guess, but maybe the psilocybin is waking up the part of the brain that processes smells. But there's an issue with these explanations. They're both centered on the brain. And Brad Goldstein, the ear, nose, and throat doc I talked to, told me that based on the latest research, that's not where the problem is.
I think it's pretty clear that the damage from this virus is almost certainly in the nose, at the olfactory epithelium of the nose. I think there's very little evidence that this virus directly enters the brain or damages the brain or neurons directly. Actually, it looks like it infects other cells in the epithelium, such as the supporting cells.
The takeaway here: the way COVID shuts down smell isn't by directly infecting our olfactory neurons or our brains, but rather by messing with our actual smelling apparatus. To put it in super simple terms, COVID's attacking our noses, not our brains. What that means, Brad says, is that it's less likely that whatever psilocybin is doing to the brain is actually having an effect on the root cause of post-COVID anosmia. Though he did add that something else could be going on, something that sort of bent my brain into a pretzel.
So I know we're trying to reconcile, okay, how does a drug that affects brain chemistry affecting olfactory perception, if the damage isn't necessarily in that region of the brain? Well, it's because it's affecting brain chemistry, and if that brain region is processing smell perceptions or smell, you know, memories or smell something, you know, it could give a person an effect, whether that's like a purely a hallucination or an augmentation of, you know, some signaling that's happening. I don't know.
So could Dustin have actually been hallucinating the smell of that orange, or himself? For my final expert opinion, I turn to Fred Barrett, a neuroscientist who serves as the associate director of the Hopkins Center for Psychedelic and Consciousness Research, one of the world's leading research centers focused on psychedelics.
The idea that psychedelics could treat anosmia is frankly fascinating to me. I think there's a story, there's a possible explanation for that.
We talked for a while about all the cool and crazy things shrooms can do to our perception. So I was kind of expecting Fred to offer the most mind-blowing theory of all. As it turns out, Fred did have a novel new idea, though it didn't have anything to do with shrooms' psychedelic powers. He told me that recently, new research has been coming out showing that under the right circumstances, psychedelics have anti-inflammatory properties, which leads us to Fred's guess about what's going on.
Hear me out for a second. My understanding of anosmia in the case of coronavirus is due to an inflammation of the olfactory epithelium and the olfactory nerves that connect with the olfactory bulb and go back. And so, you know, to the degree that the sensory organ essentially is inflamed, that can essentially cut off signaling from the nose back to the brain. If that's the case, and if psychedelics have an anti-inflammatory effect, it stands to reason that, you know, adding an anti-inflammatory to your body would ameliorate the effects of an inflammation. And if people are recovering from anosmia through psychedelic use, you know, that briefly would be my guess as to what might be happening.
Or, Fred said, it could be something much less exciting than that, a possibility that the other scientists I talked to had brought up too. Remember the old rule of science: correlation is not causation.
Can I offer an alternative hypothesis here? That, like, over the hundreds of thousands and millions of people who have gotten COVID, and the subset of those folks who have had anosmia, and the subset of folks who have anosmia that take psychedelics, it may just be that a dozen people took a psychedelic right about the time they were going to recover from anosmia to begin with. Right? I mean, I think that at least needs to be entertained as a possibility.
Fred was also careful to point out that there are dangers to shrooms, which is why their studies are so highly controlled. They can elevate heart rate and blood pressure, and there are also many, many people who've experienced bad trips that left them psychologically scarred for years to come. All of the experts I talked to warned against people trying to treat themselves using shrooms or any other uncontrolled substance. Instead, Brad, the ear, nose, and throat doc, urged people to keep their ears pricked up for new treatments.
Again, I'm optimistic that I think we may see some really new things come out before too long that hopefully will really be helpful. But it's amazing how much, you know, we've learned about the olfactory system, but how little has directly translated into new treatments. And that's really what motivates me. I mean, I think right now we really do need to figure out ways to translate all this knowledge into therapies and quickly.
That story was reported by Liz Tongue.